I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, Dr. Prather, we're going to give a COVID-19 update, something we've been doing for...
too long.
Over a year now. Too long, that's right. But we get feedback that people find it very helpful.
Yes.
So something we'll do.
And of course, that's the biggest question that I get at the office. You know, what's going on and what's the newest types of things? And people are asking about vaccinations. And quite understandably that this is a major concern of people's.
Mm-hmm. So what is the update on restrictions in Indiana right now?
Well, the mask mandate has been lifted for the state of Indiana, which is good news.
Mm-hmm.
Reason is because the numbers over Indiana overall has dropped below 5%, which is sort of the magic number.
Mm-hmm.
It's still not completely, you know, he also said that local governments could still enforce a mask mandate, which they do in Marion County still. But overall, the mask mandate has been restricted. They do allow, stores to still require mask mandates if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
There is still the mask mandate for public transportation. That's one of the major areas that they found that there was problems. And then also for large gatherings, there's still restrictions on how many people can actually attend.
Mm-hmm.
We're still not at full capacity for bars and restaurants, though they have opened it up to, I believe, 75% at this time.
So when you said we're down to 5%, what does that mean?
That is the number of people that are showing up positive.
Okay.
So if they test and they can get the number below 5% on the testing, then that's sort of the magic number that people are lifting the mask mandates.
And that's where we're at in Indiana.
That's where we are at in Indiana, yes.
So you mentioned Marion County. What is happening in Marion County?
Now, Marion County was one of the... Mayor Hogsett had said that he wasn't going to be lifting the mask mandate. But since the CDC came out recently and said that if you're fully vaccinated,
mm-hmm.
that you don't have to wear the mask anymore in most situations, that they are going to open up Marion County June 7th.
June 7th, okay.
So they're going to take off the mask mandate at that point.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to allow religious services to be 100% at that time. Bars and restaurants are going to be moved up to 75% from 50%.
Mm-hmm.
You won't need an appointment for barbershops and hairdressers anymore. And they're going to be allowing anybody who has been vaccinated not to wear masks at large gatherings.
Okay, and that starts when?
June 7th is what they said.
June 7th, okay.
Now, the reason that they said that they're not implementing it earlier is, of course, we have the Indy 500. They also said proms and formals and a lot of different types of things. So they're going to wait until after all those things are done. And then they're going to open up Marion County at that point.
Yeah, it was interesting. We were down in Atlanta Airport and the tram.
Yeah.
We were all packed in that tram.
Oh, yeah.
And there's signs everywhere, 6 feet apart.
You're right. People were paying very close attention to that. Yeah, I mean, we were person to person.
Yeah, sardines. So how is the United States doing with the COVID pandemic?
Really, really well. There are certain areas that have just done great with COVID-19. United States, UK, and Israel are the countries that have seen a very sharp decline in the pandemic.
A decline.
A real strong decline. They're also the countries who have the highest vaccination rate.
It's Israel, UK.
UK and the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So there does seem to be a very strong correlation on that. So as we're looking at the efficacy of the vaccinations, you know that it's efficient. The evidence is very strong that that's actually showing up along those lines. So it's excellent type of news.
Mm-hmm.
The death rate is down in the United States. The number of people who are actually showing up positive is again starting to really, across the United States, get below the 5%. There are pockets of areas where there's more problems, but overall, there's a continual decline in the U.S. in the COVID-19 cases.
Good news. So how are the vaccinations going?
The vaccinations are going well. There is overall a positive type of effect, especially with the COVID-19 infections. The thing that they're trying to do is to get the number of vaccinations done. 34% of Americans are what they call vaccine hesitant, is the term that they use. There's a small percentage that said, no way, no how am I getting the vaccination.
They're not hesitant. What do they call them?
I think the people who are in charge say a few choice words about them. But there is a strong number of people who sit there and say, you know, we're not going to get the vaccination. In the military, especially, there's about 40% who said that they are vaccine hesitant.
Oh, in the military.
Military seems to be a real strong area. Indiana, the number of people who are getting vaccinations is really slowing down. Indiana might be a little bit higher on what we call the vaccine hesitant than other states. The whole thing is that they're hoping to achieve, about a 90% vaccine rate.
90%
was really their goal. They do feel that they really want to hit the 70% and 34%. You know, one of the things that the CDC was accused of is trying to sweeten the deal. So if you are vaccinated, then you don't have to wear a mask. There has been accusation that that was a carrot to try to get people to vaccinate. The CDC completely denies that that's true, that they're just going by the science because the rates are falling, that it's not necessary at this point. But there are people who don't completely believe them, which is shocking. And they said, well, how are you going to enforce, you know, the whole
thing? How do you know?
And they said it's going to be the honor system. And so we'll see how all that works out.
Yeah. So why the change in the mask mandate?
Well, the whole thing is that the CDC has come out and said that, you know, they've always had the numbers, you know, the 5% seems to be the magic number. And across the United States, that seems to be hitting at a pretty good rate. And one of the things that was a real concern about that was that some of the variants as they come in might increase the numbers. But at this point, it really hasn't shown up as a big impact in the United States at this point.
That's good news.
That's really good news. So we're going to see how that works. But the mask mandate has been going back and forth all over the place. There's the very famous situation where Fauci was on 60 Minutes, and he said that the masks were pretty well worthless. And said that they really don't make a difference on transmission of viruses. And people shouldn't worry about the mask.
When was this? Near the beginning of all?
Near the beginning, when people were getting concerned about it. Well, at first, Fauci said that not to worry about the Wuhan virus, you know, when it was first coming out, that it probably wouldn't even make it to the United States.
That's what he's saying at first.
That was the beginning of when people were starting to hear about it. And that he had come out and stated that that wasn't something that would probably happen to the United States, and not to worry. Then it became, okay, we're worried about it, but don't wear masks, because masks really scientifically don't make a bit of difference on spreading the virus. Then he came out and said that we need to definitely wear masks, and he was actually questioned on, you know, in Congress, and he said, yeah, the science actually agrees that masks are very important. Now that the mask mandate is out, he's saying, well, actually, they're not really that effective anymore, and that we really shouldn't worry about it so that we can start to not wear. So now that everything is completely clear, and we have the
science changes.
And then we have, yeah, we have the science that backs everything. And we know exactly where the CDC stands, then we can all rest assured that we're in good hands.
Yeah, I know someone copied something from the CDC, and I'm sorry, but it's hard for me to, you
follow
know.
It.
Yeah.
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 It's a little confusing, like, and yeah, we all know what, you know.
Yeah.
We can all rest assured that the science is holding through.
Oh, boy. So let's talk about herd immunity, what it is, and why is there controversy with it?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, it's something that they've come out and they're now saying that getting it isn't effective enough. You have to have the vaccination. Mm-hmm. But everyone, but the CDC actually says the best way to have immunity to it is actually to have had the COVID-19. Uh-huh. But now they're saying no. You have to have the vaccine to really achieve herd immunity. So the science, again, is really clear. absolutely. There's just no doubt. The best way to have an immunity to the virus is to have actually had it. Mm-hmm. And that's the most effective. And they're saying that the immunity will last 8 months. And that and then if you get it, you know, something along those lines, your ability to fight it off is much, much better because now your body's used to it.
Okay. Okay. More mild.
More mild. Now, the vaccines are very effective. And now the vaccines, they're coming back and forth. One, they said that it doesn't provide immunity. You can still get it. Because people are showing up
with
now
the vaccine,
with the vaccine, and mm-hmm. now they're saying that it does provide immunity. So again, the science is extremely clear, and we can rest assured on there.
I am so clear.
But the controversy is, you know, is whether people should actually get the vaccine who have had it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's really where things are kind of, you know, it's not really. Really coming out, and it's very confusing mm-hmm. on what they're saying, and but we can rest assured that the science will.
So how safe are the vaccines, and who should and shouldn't get them?
Well, you know, there are, according to the VAERS, which is the reporting system.
We talk about that a lot.
Yeah, that's where that's coming. It's almost getting up to about 5,400 deaths. Mm-hmm. That have been associated with the vaccine. There have been many miscarriages that have been associated with mm-hmm. that. They have come out and said that pregnant women should get it, but there is a large number of reported miscarriages that have been related to the vaccine. Mm-hmm. So, again, personally, there is a word of caution. One, you should get tested before you get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. If you do have the virus that is active at that time, those are the people that are probably dying from it mm-hmm. because it creates a cytokine reaction throughout the body, which is a overall inflammation that just kind of destroys the system. Mm-hmm. So, one, get tested beforehand. And I don't really agree with pregnant women actually getting the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather, for the COVID update. Always helpful. When we come back, we're going to learn all you ever want to know about herbs, Herbalism Ooh. 101.
Excellent.
Be right
thank you.
Back. You can win a free 60-minute massage in our relaxing spa at Holistic Integration. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip featuring rapid release technology.
one of the chiropractic friends who is a soft tissue expert, his textbook, Soft Tissue Therapy, is the one used in medical schools, heavily used as sort of the Bible for soft tissue work. And as soon as he saw rapid release, he switched all of his treatments over to the rapid release because it's much easier on the doctor. You get quicker results, less painful, much better compliance. So when people would be coming in for the Grasson, they would be going, I like the results, but I don't know if I really want to do that. Whereas with rapid release, they come running in and really want that done.
Cause yeah, everybody's they ask like, for it.
Yeah, they're like, okay, we got you cured, but can I have it again anyway?
Well, many patients have bought them.
It's an amazing device and incredible results. It's a great way to get your body relaxed and get those aches and pains out of your system.
As you're using the rapid release, you can see people go into that deep breathing and going more into that, what we call the parasympathetic mode or the rest and digest.
Really switches and has a huge effect on the nervous system.
And the sessions aren't long. You just do a few minutes in each area.
One of the patients recently with a massage therapist, so she was doing a massage on him. She's going, boy, I'm just having trouble really getting this released. I walked out, got the rapid release, and she did it, and the patient was like, oh my gosh, that's incredible. And she was saying, you know, I got to use that more. To get those problem areas, it works so much quicker, so much easier. It just takes off all the stress of me trying to really work that out. And it's easier on the patient, too.
Relax muscles and release aches, pains, and tension through Rapid Release's high-speed vibration therapy. Experience the benefits of Rapid Release therapy by scheduling an appointment at Holistic Integration. And to purchase your own, go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the Rapid Release banner and enter code PRATHER, P-R-A-T-H-E-R, for a $100 discount for the Voice of Health Radio listeners. A new year is time for change, and at the Prather Practice, we're changing our name. The Prather Practice is now known as Holistic Integration. Holistic Integration is still the same practice you know and love, but we hope our new name helps current and prospective patients to better understand our main goal and focus. We want to integrate holistic structure-function care into the lives of all our patients so that you can feel as healthy and happy as possible. We still have the same office, the same great staff, the same high standard of care, and the same core values. And we still keep you, the patient, in the center of everything we do. We've just made some updates to help represent us well. Schedule your appointment at Holistic Integration, 317-848-8048, or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Holistic Integration, still restoring hope to our patients. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Well, we're going to talk today about Herbalism 101, and we have one of our functional health coaches with us, Kiara. Welcome, Kiara.
Hi, thank you for having me, Lisa. I'm happy to be here.
We are excited. I'm excited to learn more about herbs, and let's talk a little bit about your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Sure. Okay. So my name is Kiara. I grew up here in Indianapolis, and I was always a big plant lover as a kid. So I grew up around a lot of outdoor space, playing with plants, learning how to grow my own food as a kid. Mm-hmm. So at a young age, I knew that I was interested in nature and plants and just being in that realm. Mm-hmm. So when I went to university, I did a program where I could actually create my own major there. So I chose to create what I called holistic health and wellness, and that was what I studied at Indiana University. So I was able to incorporate a lot of really creative classes. That way, you know, there were really no programs that I was interested in. So that way I was able to take all the little bits and pieces of my interests and combine it together, which was something that was really cool for me. So I was able to take classes like wild edible plants and a lot of pre-nursing classes and psychology classes. So that was my
foundation. But you developed this major or this?
Yeah,
your own education.
I did. So I worked with an advisor closely to figure out what classes fit into the major, what I was interested in learning, and then how we could all piece it together. So it's a really cool program.
And you did 4 years
there. I did.
At Indiana, was it at Indiana University?
Yep, in Bloomington.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have other people following, you know, that would be great.
Yeah, so what they do is kind of allow the student to pick what they want to do, and if other people want to use that as a model later on, they can, but most people will kind of create their whole individualized program.
So then when you graduated with what?
A bachelor's.
And what did you call the program again?
Holistic Health and Wellness.
Sounds like holistic integration.
Exactly. That's right. It was a good fit. Yeah. So after university, I decided to move to the West Coast. And I had been certified as a yoga teacher and a Pilates instructor, and then was getting more interested in the medical side. So I was in Oregon, and I met an herbalist who had an herbal apprenticeship program. So I applied for that. I got into that the next season, and then worked with her for about a year, learning how to identify herbs, how to make products, how to use herbs therapeutically and clinically. And then eventually I went on to make my own herbal medicine and see clients on my own on a very small level. And then
That was in Oregon.
Okay. Yeah. And then I moved abroad. So I was living abroad for 2 years. I spent some time in Indonesia and India and Sri Lanka, Thailand, and I didn't get too much into the herbal medicine there in a clinical sense, but I did a lot more of the folk medicine. So I got to see how different cultures and traditions would utilize the plants that they had available to them, which was really cool to me.
Which country did you learn most from, or which one did you enjoy the most?
That's
or should I even ask? Yeah.
They all have their charm, and they're all so different, even though, you know, relatively close by. But all the cultures just really stem from different traditions and religions. So it's hard for me to pick a favorite. I did end up staying in Sri Lanka for the longest amount of time. So if I had to choose, I would choose Sri Lanka.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you said folk medicine, how is that different from herbal?
Yeah, so folk medicine is traditional medicine in the sense of people are using the plants that they have available to them around them, so they stem from traditional cultures. So the folk medicine of the United States would be Native American medicine, whereas the type of herbalism that I'm practicing is clinically based. So we use a lot of the traditional knowledge from, you know, tribal medicine or different cultures' medicine, but then we add a scientific lens to that.
Yeah. Interesting. So you eventually came back here.
I did.
Tell us a little bit about what you do now at Holistic Integration.
Sure, yeah. So my official title is a functional health coach. And with that, basically we look at different diagnostics from clients and patients. So I'll look at their lab work, whether that's blood work or a hair sample analysis. And then I work with the patient to determine what types of supplements and herbs and also lifestyle changes would be beneficial for them in order to find ultimate health and balance.
And you have one day of the week that you're working on herbals.
So one day out of the week I am taking time to work on some herbal formulations. So we're working towards our own supplement line, which is exciting. So now we're in the testing phase and figuring out what we want to carry based on, you know, what is there a high need for, and then testing out the different ratios, testing out, you know, where to get the herbs from and how the potency is depending on where you get it from. So there's a lot of trial and error involved, but it's fun.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And we're so glad to have you. You've been such a great addition and asset.
Thank you.
Well, can you explain what herbal medicine is?
Yeah, so I'll touch on the history of herbal medicine. So I initially said, like, what we're talking about here is more clinical herbal medicine, and it's known as Western herbal medicine. So there are very many iterations of herbalism, for example, Chinese herbal medicine or Ayurveda, which is the herbal medicine tradition of India. Mm-hmm. But because herbalists do work with plants and different geographical locations, that differs, you know, but mm-hmm. depending on where you are. So for today's purposes, I'm mainly going to be addressing Western herbal medicine and clinical herbal medicine, okay. because it's the most relevant to mm-hmm. what I practice and what is available here in the United States. So modern Western herbalism is a combination of influences from Native American traditions, Latin American traditions, and then also European folk medicine. So today, modern-day herbalists work through a scientific lens, like I mentioned before, but in order to do that, we needed to understand what these plants were. So we took a lot of that knowledge from the people that were here before this land, you know, was ours. Mm-hmm. So it is based on folk traditional medicine from different native cultures.
Mm-hmm. I know some of the herbs we get have formulas from the Native American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Their medicine is really powerful, and without the knowledge that they had, I don't think modern-day herbalism would be what it is. Mm-hmm. So it really is special. I was actually able to stay on a Oglala Sioux reservation in South Dakota while I was in high school, actually. And they were able to educate me on different natural remedies that they used and what their natural medicine looked like. So they showed me this root that was called bear root for them. And they told me that they used it for toothaches and mouth pain or teething when, you know, baby's teeth were mm-hmm. coming in. And so when I got home, I was really curious about what is this bear root, because I had never heard of it. And I come to find out that it's actually what modern herbalists call OSHA root. And it's widely used in modern herbalism today. So we use it for tooth pain, but also it's great for coughs and, you know, if you feel a cold coming on. Mm-hmm. So that's just an example. Like, we took this information that we got from the Native Americans mm-hmm. and then were able to expand on that knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So are there different approaches? And before we go to this, I'm just looking at time. Let's go to a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the different approaches or variations of herbal medicine.
Perfect.
Sound good?
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
And they had warned her, they had told her that probably more than likely, as they removed this mask, you would probably be left with the colostomy bag. And oh, she was dreading that. She talked about it. She was obsessed by it. Finally, I told her, trying to get her mind off the colostomy bag, I've paid the surgeon a little extra money. When you wake up, you're going to look like Dolly Parton. And then she got really nervous about that. Don't you dare, don't you dare. Oh, sure enough, when she came out into the recovery room, they had placed a colostomy bag on her, and we knew she was going to hate it and dread it, so we blew up a couple of balloons. And we just said, Mom, the bad news is you have the colostomy, but the good news is you look hot. She just cracked her eyes. Get those off of me.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration.
So has COVID-19 increased the number of people with tinnitus?
Yes. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons we seem to be having a lot more people with tinnitus right now. The structure actually plays a big role, especially of the jaw and the neck. We do get results on people once we can actually fix the neck. Just wearing the mask has been one of the things that's actually kicked up tinnitus on some of our patients. Zinc for supplementation probably has the biggest effect on tinnitus of anything out there. What they found with the COVID-19 patients is oftentimes that they lose taste and smell. That's because your zinc levels drop so low, because the zinc is utilized to fight the virus. And so your zinc level drops too low, which can also not only cause taste and smell to be gone, but also kick up tinnitus. That's why viruses oftentimes can be a major cause for tinnitus.
Schedule your appointment at Holistic Integration, 317-848-8048. Holistic Integration, restoring hope. Are you experiencing muscle pain or tightness anywhere on your body? Try the Rapid Release Therapy Pro 2. The Pro 2 is a targeted high-speed vibration therapy device used by medical professionals to quickly relieve a wide variety of aches and pains on their patients, as well as themselves, their friends, and their families. Safe, effective, and easy to use, this professional quality medical device uses a patent treatment head with 5 built-in heads, giving you the versatility to treat small bony surfaces, such as fingers, wrists, and ankles. Powerful enough to quickly relax the tightest hips on professional athletes and everything in between. Unlike the low-speed percussive devices, rapid release therapy delivers for sensitive areas like joints, neck, and ankles safely and comfortably, and provides the raw power your larger muscle groups need. Go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid release banner and enter code PRAYTHER for a $100 discount for the Voice of Health Radio listeners.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna kill my head.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Well, we're talking today about Herbalism 101. And we have Kira here from she's one of our functional health coaches at Holistic Integration. And let's talk about what the primary goal of Western herbalism is.
Yeah, sure. So the primary goal, I would say, of modern Western herbalism is to support the body's various organ systems. Mm-hmm. So this is a little bit different from what Western biomedicine is. Mm-hmm. So that focuses more on treating the symptoms of disease. Mm-hmm. And this is why integrative medicine and herbal medicine work so well together, because we have a similar philosophy in that we need to look beyond just the symptoms and mm-hmm. where is ultimate health in the body within different systems, right. Organ systems. Mm-hmm. So we instead will look for the root cause of disease and then create treatment plans that are more patient-centered and more individualized. So instead of treating just the symptoms, we find the root cause. And that way we can see what the different imbalances
are. No pun intended,
root cause. Look at you. Herb jokes.
Have you ever heard that one before?
I have not heard that one. Yeah, so that way we don't just focus on disease treatment. Mm-hmm. And we focus on ultimate health. We focus on quality of life and really like what the patient's goal is and what their perception of health is. Because mm-hmm. that's different from person to person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can look at numbers, but if the patient isn't feeling well, then, you know, we don't view that as health, ultimate health. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to involve the patient in their mm-hmm. care.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
very important. Let's talk about the variations of herbal medicine.
Okay. Yeah, there are a lot of different types of herbalism mm-hmm. and herbalists. We all work in different ways. So some herbalists will prefer to have very small practices where they actually can grow all of their own medicine, which I think is really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then some will pair with really trusted companies that they know in order to give them the herbs, because you can work with herbs, but if, you know, they're grown poorly, right. then their medicinal benefits aren't really there. So mm-hmm. sourcing herbs is really important to herbalists. And then there are folk herbalists that will try to utilize herbs in a more traditional way, closer to their native roots, whereas clinical herbalism is more science-based and oftentimes we'll work with other medical practitioners.
And that's what we do at Holistic
Integration. Yeah, that's what we would do. Mm-hmm. So there are also herbalists that prefer to use single herb formulas. So that means just taking one herb to treat one issue, mm-hmm. whereas other herbalists are more, they lean more towards multi-herb formulas, so putting in multiple herbs in one product. And it really just differs based on experience and knowledge and their personal philosophy. Mm-hmm. I personally think there's a time and a place for both, you know, mm-hmm. combining herb formulas and just using single herbs. I think they both have their gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what is the general Western physician's perception of herbal medicine?
Yeah, so the answer to this question is kind of mixed. I obviously can't speak for everyone,
right.
but I can say that some Western physicians love and utilize herbs within their practice, or they partner with an herbalist, and then others just don't have the knowledge to utilize herbs, and they rely more on pharmaceuticals. So I think there could be a lot more peer-reviewed studies on the clinical and therapeutic effects of mm-hmm. herbs, and that is where a lot of Western biomedicine gets its knowledge and data from. Mm-hmm. So since there is that gap, a lot of Western medical practitioners don't see the benefits of herbs.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I will say is there's a lot of studies that you can find on herbs. However, they're more isolated in that they're looking at a certain isolate of an herb or a certain compound. And then the results come back and it's like, oh, this isn't actually helpful treating this disease or this issue. But the studies are so skewed because they're not using the herb itself. They're using one chemical compound or an isolate. So I definitely think that there can be a lot more studies that are regulated and mm-hmm. a little bit more open to using actual herbal products. But that being said, we also do have a lot of herbs that are used even in Western biomedicine that have been really well researched and have really positive therapeutic effects. One thing that I find really interesting is that a lot of people are unaware that many pharmaceutical products actually originated from plants. So,
well, wasn't Eli Lilly an herbalist?
I don't know the answer
okay.
to that, but most likely a lot of chemists start out learning about plant matter. So mm-hmm. organic chemistry is based on natural elements.
Mm-hmm.
So aspirin derived from bark, willow bark.
Mm.
And that contains a compound called salicylic acid. And traditionally, the bark was used for pain, and they used it in childbirth and just like fever reduction, a lot of different things. But then chemists, they took the bark from the plant and they isolated the salicylic acid from it, and it was really unstable because it's not in a natural form. So they were adding different things to it, other elements and atoms, until what they got was aspirin.
Mm.
And
interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Western biomedical practitioners, so they will view herbal medicine as irrelevant or not beneficial when, you know, the basis for their pharmaceuticals is from plants.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of find that ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's just one example. There's a lot more pharmaceutical mm-hmm. drugs with a basis of an herb or a plant.
Mm-hmm. Good. Are there side effects with or any contraindications taking prescription medicine with herbals?
There are, mm-hmm. and it's not for every prescription medication. I do think it is really important to work with someone who has herbal knowledge specifically in order to determine if you can combine herbs with your pharmaceutical prescription drug. Some main ones which are common you might know would be like grapefruit,
mm-hmm.
often interacts with pharmaceuticals. And then it's more risky for pregnant women. However, a lot of herbal supplements are just required to say that you can't take this with a pharmaceutical or unless you're under the care of a physician. So there are interactions, and I would definitely work with an expert.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say that every single herb has an interaction with every single pharmaceutical drug. So most of them are fine.
Mm-hmm.
There's even common herbs that we have in our pantry, like cinnamon is mm-hmm. an herb, or peppermint, and we don't really worry about those interacting mm-hmm. with any pharmaceuticals. So yeah. I would say most do not. However, some do.
So it's important. Like, how do we work that out at Holistic Integration?
Yeah.
Because if a patient has a primary care physician outside of our office, mm-hmm. and they're on some herbs, we've had issues where their primary care says, just get off all your supplements, you know. So how do we handle a situation like that?
Yeah, I think that really comes down to listening to the patient and what the patient wants and needs. So first we would see, are there going to be any contraindications? Are there interactions that we know of that would happen? And if there aren't any, then that's when we would ask the patient, what are you comfortable with? This is the knowledge that we can present with to you, and we know that these will interact, these won't interact, or these will be beneficial together. But what is most comfortable for you? We don't really like to tell anyone to stop taking their medication.
Right.
So, you know, we can only support the patient's decision and just give them the information that we have and the knowledge that we have.
Good. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of your favorite herbs for anti-aging.
Perfect.
Sounds great.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration.
We think a lot about prescription medicine and the liver. The liver's always being checked, the levels. Maybe the kidney's not getting enough attention.
Yes, and that is one thing that we've seen where we've done a check on people's medication. And we said, you shouldn't be taking this with chronic kidney disease. And then their primary care physician said, well, I didn't even know they had chronic kidney disease. That is part of the thing that we do at the office, is we check to see what diseases they have and then cross-check it with the pharmaceuticals. And it's amazing how many people are on pharmaceuticals that they shouldn't be on for chronic kidney disease.
Well, how is chronic kidney disease treated medically?
Basically, what they try to do is to control the diabetes and the hypertension, try to keep those under control. Weight loss is another different type of factor. Dietary changes are also important. There are no medications for chronic kidney disease that help the kidneys. That is a real failure of the medical community. When I've talked to medical doctors and showed them some of the changes that we're able to make on the kidneys with the changes in blood work, they said, I didn't know you could do that. We've taken people with 25 glomerular filtration rate up to 60, 65. And
where should they be?
Well, you should be above 60. Anything below 60 is considered kidney disease. The glomerular filtration rate should be in the hundreds. 100 to 115 is really where it should be. 85 is considered really a healthy kidney. Hypertension is the number two reason that people have problems with their kidneys and kidney destruction. It's a very interesting type of a sort of a loop, kind of a catch-22. If you start to develop chronic kidney disease, then that leads to hypertension. Hypertension wears out the kidneys because of the extra pressure that goes in through there. 70% of all hypertension, all high blood pressure, comes from kidney disease. The medical solution on that is to take antihypertensive drugs, high blood pressure drugs, to lower the blood pressure, which helps the kidneys, but then the high blood pressure medicine actually helps to destroy the kidneys itself. There are points where you need to use high blood pressure medicine to keep the blood pressure down, but you should be working to fix the kidneys so that you can reduce the high blood pressure medicine. So you want to help to control the blood pressure with as least amount of damage to the kidneys as possible. And then you want to heal the kidneys as quickly as possible so you can reduce the blood pressure medicine also.
Schedule your appointment at Holistic Integration, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at Holistic Integration.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at dtsweightlosscenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call Holistic Integration to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health radio show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at Holistic Integration. Dedicate, transform, succeed. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
Well, we're talking about Herbalism 101, and I am learning a lot.
Great.
We have Kira here. She is one of our functional health coaches at Holistic Integration, a great addition to our practice. And so, Kira, let's talk about anti-aging. I'm at that age.
Yeah, so anti-aging is and has been a hot topic, and mm-hmm. I think it always will be. A lot of people tend to focus on the external, so how can I make my skin look better by putting this cream on it, or mm-hmm. how can I make myself look more youthful? But I think it's very important to focus on anti-aging from an internal perspective. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of factors that go into the aging process, and we obviously have not figured out how to escape them entirely. Mm-hmm. However, there are a few things that we can do that can give us, I guess, more tools to age gracefully and support ourselves on a cellular level for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. So a big cause of aging is what's called oxidative damage. And I won't get too deep into it because it gets very scientific and chemical, but oxidative damage occurs when there's a buildup of free radicals within the body, and we get free radicals through diet and pesticides, environmental factors, radiation, sun damage, all kinds of things, just by living. Mm-hmm. And antioxidants, and a specific group of antioxidants called polyphenols, are components of plants that can help reverse this damage from free radicals. So as an herbalist, I always recommend consuming a lot of high antioxidant foods and herbs that you can easily incorporate into your diet. So clove is an herb and a spice that a lot of us have in our kitchen, mm-hmm. and is very rich in antioxidants, but also berries, blackberries, green tea is mm-hmm. also considered an herb. Raw cacao is another one.
I'm writing these down.
I see that. So incorporating higher amounts, a bigger quantity of antioxidants is going to be really helpful mm-hmm. in order to age more gracefully. And then I do have to make a disclaimer. Like, I don't recommend just Googling, you know, green tea supplement or antioxidant supplement and ordering that based on like what I'm saying. I do think it's very important to work with an expert if you are interested in using supplements or herbs in your healthcare or preventative health. Mm-hmm. So definitely come to the practice.
Someone like you.
Or someone like me. Find me or come to the practice or work with an expert before mm-hmm. you incorporate anything.
That's like anything.
Yeah.
You know, don't run to the vitamin store.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Vitamin D. Yeah.
There are a lot of issues that can come up when people self-supplement and they think, oh, I need to supplement with zinc. And then, you know, someone has extremely high levels of zinc and they don't realize that actually affects their copper levels. So mm-hmm. things like that, definitely always work with a specialist or an expert. Mm-hmm. But to go further on the anti-aging topic, another type of herb that is highly beneficial for anti-aging would be the classification of adaptogens. Mm-hmm. So adaptogens are herbs that help our body adapt to stress over time. And stress is a major aggravator for all chronic conditions and can speed up the aging process overall. So alongside techniques to minimize your stress levels, so like breathing exercises, meditation, physical exercise, adding adaptogenic herbs can also be very powerful because they can help our body come back into a state of rest and relaxation instead of existing in a heightened state of stress. So some examples of these would be like ashwagandha is a really common one. That's also used a lot in Ayurvedic medicine, so that's another type of herbal medicine I mentioned. Holy basil, lion's mane, there are a lot of mushrooms that are great for anti-aging and have adaptogen properties.
That was one of the, I bought at the oil company, they were selling boxes where you could harvest your mushrooms.
Oh yeah.
And I thought again, and lion's mane was one of them.
Yeah, that's a really great one. Very powerful. So we're actually working, I'm working on an adaptogen blend right now to put together these different herbs that will help with stress reduction and help basically adrenal function. They also regulate stress. So
yeah, because Dr. Prather says like right now, everybody walking in our door, adrenals are working way over.
Yeah, adrenals are definitely very stressed. And that's just because of our society, unfortunately. You know, everyone is expected to maintain such busy lives and also somehow be okay without learning all these different techniques of stress reduction. So we definitely see a lot of very stressed out adrenals in the practice. Yeah.
That sounded funny. Stressed out adrenals. Like adrenals are walking into the office. I know what you mean. Oh, good. So those are some of the anti-aging. And do we carry most of those?
We do. Holistic integration. Yeah, so we definitely have products that will help reverse oxidative damage and free radical damage. And then we do have some adaptogens and herbs and supplements that focus on adrenal health.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you're taking, what herbs you're taking, and for why.
Yeah, sure.
If you'd like to share that with us.
So I take an adaptogen blend, the one that I've made.
Yeah, you're working and you're have classes.
Working and in school. So I experience stress for sure.
You wouldn't know it though.
Thank you.
They must be working.
Thank you. So I definitely do take an adaptogen blend. I also take a mushroom complex every now and then. Also great for immunity. I'm taking some hormonal balancing herbs. So I use Vitex, which is also known as chaste tree. And we have that at the practice, and it's very popular. It's great for regulation of hormones and menstrual cycle. It's even great for women who are going through menopause. So I love that herb. It's great. I've been taking that one for
years.
Anything
that balances hormones.
Yes. That'd
be great.
Also good for stress. So those are the main ones that I'm taking. And then I also try and incorporate fresh herbs on a regular basis. So in my salads, I'll put parsley or cilantro. We also use cilantro a lot in the practice, which is great for detoxifying the body from heavy metals. So I think the more fresh herbs that you can incorporate into your diet is also super beneficial.
And the herbs that we carry, are they most in capsule form?
We have a mixture, so we have some liquid form and then some encapsulated. They are really, it's based on preference, really. Some herbs don't taste that great. They're known for a reputation of just not tasting very good. But it's better to extract their herbal constituents through alcohol. You get more of the healthy components instead of actually powdering them. So there is a reason why some of them are in alcohol and taste like that and don't taste so great. But we do have options for both.
So if someone just, I can think of a couple. You just got to chase it down.
Put it in something like orange juice and chuck it.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time, Kira. Very informative.
Thank you.
Big part of our practice. some of our patients are on a few herbs and some homeopathics. It's just the combination.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's very important for them to look for a specialist.
Absolutely.
Someone like you. And we look at diagnostics as our base.
Right.
There's no guesswork in what we're doing. So, well, thank you for this time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Holistic Integration is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.